is pleasant to the sight and good for food. But then the fall. Man rebelled against God and were expelled from the land of the living, expelled from the land of no hunger and no death. The fall brought death, for the wages of sin is death. Christ Jesus understands the connection between hunger and death, for he states, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. The lack of food will cause hunger, which in time will cause their bodies to fail. Again, those living in a land of prosperity, a land of plenty, to them, even hunger gets a twisted understanding. For those seeming to have plenty, to be hungry means being late for a meal. When the service is slow at a restaurant, you are accustomed to having plenty say, "I'm starving." But the proper understanding of starving is something horrific. There's a famous picture that some may have seen in the Good News magazine that serves as a sobering icon of death and corrupted savage nature of this fallen world. It has in the foreground of the picture a little African girl somewhere between baby and toddler age, with a distended stomach stretched out because of real starvation. Her bravely weak head is slumped over on the ground in misery. Help from her mother or anyone is nowhere to be found, or no avail is put any on. The ground around her is desolate and dusty, and in the background of this picture lurks a vulture that is as big as she is, watching and waiting, knowing that death is inevitable. There is a link between desolation, starvation, and death. That link, the link that binds them all, is sin. For the wages of sin is death. People starve and suffer for many reasons. African children die because of famine and natural disasters. They die because of corrupt politicians and greedy overlords. They die because of indifferent sinners like you, who think it's starving is having to wait on slow service or not getting your dessert. They die because of self-centered, promiscuous fathers who contract AIDS, and because of superstitions and false religions that hold women and children in contempt. They die because of sin. How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? My friends in Christ, you too are part of these people. You too are a starving people. Yes, we're surrounded by big houses, big cars, big meals, big entertainment, big bank accounts, and big ways of what the Lord has entrusted to you. But here's the irony. Amidst this land of plenty, you starve yourselves of God's word and sacraments. How many say, taking so long with the deliverance of God's word, I hunger and thirst for righteousness. But instead, it is said, why is the service taking so long? I have better things to do. How many say, my own devotions are not enough of God's word? Instead, it is said, who has time for devotions on God's word? Who has time to pray in the morning and evening and before and after each meal that God gives to me? I don't even have time to remember my own baptism. And how long does that take? Repent. Though you certainly deserve to, our Lord does not leave you to starve in this desolate place. What makes you any less worthy than that little African child with the fate of starvation, of death, of being watched over by scavenging vultures? Why do you deserve to live here and not there? Here's God's truth. Nothing makes you any less worthy. You don't deserve to live here, but it doesn't matter where you live, because sin is with you wherever you are. You are in the same desolate place as the African girl and as those who followed Jesus into the place of need. Don't get fooled by all the stuff of prosperity. The Lord Jesus came into your desolate place to be born among sinners, to be worshipped by sinners, to be baptized like sinners, to be tempted just as a sinner, to be crucified for you, poor, miserable sinners, to rise from the grave as a victory on behalf of sinners, all to save sinners. Moved by compassion on the crowd, Jesus offers them a different kind of bread. Having given thanks, he broke the pieces of bread and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. The desolation of sin is instead fed with eternal blessings that satisfy your body and soul by means of the forgiveness of your sins. By going the way of the cross of Christ crucified, the Lord's blood cleanses and gives you true life, bringing you a garden of life that has no end. How can one feed